God bless everyone here this morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. The one that came not to be ministered unto, but to minister to others and to die as a ransom. A perfect example of sacrifice. He said to learn of him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. So it is in his name that I come this morning. I have enjoyed being here tremendously. I do believe that strangers are friends that we haven't met yet. So I really have enjoyed being here. I forgot to mention that last evening. I enjoy taking the family along. That way they can see that Tyrone is not just a funny name on the bulletin, but it's a place where people gather together every Sunday to worship the Lord. So we have enjoyed being here. Probably there's a few visitors maybe here that you weren't here last night, but the theme for this weekend is the in the world but not of the world, and focusing a lot in kingdom service. We are different from the world. We should have different ambitions, different goals, different master. So we should live differently, and one of them is in the way we serve in the kingdom of God. We are in the world with a mission. The main mission already, Brother Josiah mentioned it this morning, is reconciliation, to tell others about Jesus. And as we serve in the kingdom of God, one of the aspects of serving is that we help and minister to the needs of others. At first, whenever I saw the program last night, we talked about reserving your life for kingdom service. And tonight, we're going to be looking at, Lord willing, is that to kingdom service to the end of your life. But in the middle there was a title. It says, helping others without hurting them. And at first I had to scratch my head and like, what does this have to do with kingdom service? Well, it's one of the aspects we do serve in the kingdom of heaven. It's to serve and help others. And how are we going to do it without hurting them? So we're going to get there after a little while here. I got a pretty good pretty big introduction. But we'll get there, okay? So you just hang with me. Helping people without hurting others. I would like to start with talking about the need that we have to help. Yes, a need to help others. And as I received the assignment to speak about this subject, I thought of a comment that I made earlier. It went something like this. I feel like we've been hearing a lot of warning lately, or maybe I just woke up, I guess. But one of the things that I don't want us to leave this place with is to be scared. You know, we hear about this, we're going to be careful how you help people because you might hurt them. So in my mind, I'm getting kind of scared of helping people because I sure don't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him, so that what is our inclination? I tend to give up on people. I say, well, if I'm going to hurt him, I might as well not even try, because if I try and there's a possibility of hurting them, definitely I'm going to hurt him. It's just maybe I'm too pessimistic. But anyway, we don't want to react to this, but this is a reality. We do need to help. And that's what I gave you, that phrase there, that we need to help others as we serve in the kingdom of God. So, do we have a responsibility to help? Absolutely. Do I help when I feel like it? Can I help without hurting people? Well, the next thought that I would like to introduce, not to introduce, but because you know it already, but Jesus taught us to help. Go with me to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, I don't think I'm going to take the time to read the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a beautiful story. The children probably know this story very well, right? In Luke chapter 10, we see in verse 29. Well, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And you know how he answers. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou has answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus teaches him, he tells him the story of that man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him up tremendously. They took everything that he had, and they left him as dead. He says in English, he says, leaving him half dead. But you know the story. He comes a priest. He saw him. We don't know why, but he went by the way. He passed on the other side. Then came a Levite and did the same thing. But here comes a Samaritan. Now remember who Jesus tells this story to. A lawyer of the law. Here comes a Samaritan. They didn't like the Samaritans. But he says, see, journey came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer is kind of humble by now, I will say, probably looking down to the ground. And he says, He that showeth mercy on him, Then said Jesus unto him, verse 37, Go and do thou likewise. Jesus is teaching you and I that we need to help those that need help. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says like this, Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. You got that? Willing to communicate. That phrase just stood out to me, because in Spanish it doesn't use that word. It just says to be generous. But here in English, I love it. It says, ready to distribute. Distribute what? The riches that God hath given to us. Oh, I thought that riches were just for me to enjoy. Somebody can work for their stuff. In verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Jesus alluded to the same principle. Whenever we help other people, we store treasure in heaven. We store treasure in heaven. And I'm going to read 1 Chronicles yet. I had a little trouble finding this scripture this morning. It came to mind this morning, but I finally found it. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Here David, I think they were collecting for the temple, for building up the temple. And here in verse 24, verse 14, I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now, last night we talked about how do we serve Jesus. Brother Josiah already mentioned some of those ways that we serve in the kingdom. Okay? Jesus said, as long as you did it to one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. That's how we serve. And here, so in other words, David is saying, what we have received from thee, we're going to give it back to you. Okay, how do we give it back to him? We have received so many blessings. What are you going to do with him? Are you going to give him back to him because he was the one that gave it? We just read in 1 Timothy 6. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It does say to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. So which kind of person are you going to be? Are you going to be a generous person that gives? Gives what? What you receive. Or are you just going to be like collecting as many things as you can? You get the point? I'm going to give you an illustration for this point. So it's going to take me a little bit to get it ready, so y'all hang with me. I'm still here. Remember what we're talking about, right? Which person are you going to be? God wants to give blessings to you. He has given many riches for us to enjoy. And that we need to be rich in good works. Be willing to distribute. David said, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So we just want to give. So I'm just going to compare these two people. This is two different people, two different hearts. Okay? And there's two, the jars are the same. Well, one is a little different than the other one, but that's what we had. So which kind of person are you going to be like as we receive blessings from the Lord? Which person are you going to be? Here we have a selfish. This is the selfish person. Okay, there's two different substances here. Here comes the blessings of God. And he gives to us abundantly. There's so many blessings that we have. And we can give statistics, and we are in the minority in the world of how rich we are. Can you imagine that? Many people live with $1 or $2 per day. Oh, wow. Anyway, here comes the blessings of God. And this is the selfish person. What is he going to do with the blessings of God? There, he enjoys, he gives thanks. But that's, he says, praise the Lord, he gave me a lot of blessings. So here is the person, the selfish person. And he just wants to enjoy the blessings from God. But you know what? Many times we are like this person that is selfish, and it is, we're selfish. We don't want to share with other people. We, the church-wide aid offering coming up, they say, well, bad luck for them. I need to buy some new wheels for my truck. I don't have money to spend for somebody got hurt. So we become like this selfish person, and he receives the blessings from God. And boy, nothing comes out. He tips him over, nothing comes out. He's tight. We say he's tight, right? He's stingy, right? That guy is tight right there. But here is another person that is willing to take God at his word. And he knows that he needs to be rich in good works. And he knows that the blessings from God come for a reason, and that is that they overflow. We sing that little song, fill up my cup, Lord, right? And my cup is full and running over. And this is what is going to happen with this person. Okay? You don't need to be scared, okay? But it's going to be pretty neat. But there is the blessings from God pouring. God is pouring his blessing upon us. And what happens? Isn't that pretty neat? God pours his blessing on us. For what? So we can share. So we can, our cup is full and running over to bless other people. I want you to remember that. Do you think we can keep on with the sermon? Or are you like this person? Stingy, tight, nothing comes out. You hoard up your blessings from God without giving to others. This illustration is a very beautiful illustration. I love it because he points out what God wants to do for us. He wants us to share with others. Okay, I'm going to keep talking, okay? I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to last, but it's not going to hurt anybody, so don't be scared, okay? It's not going to explode. I hope not, anyway. Is there a possibility to hurt people when we help them? I wasn't quite sure about that. How many of you have read the book On the Other Side of the Wall by Gary Miller? A few of them. I bought it long ago, and it was in my shelf. I got several books that I haven't read yet, because it's hard to find time to read, Brother Stephen. We'll talk about that. But and whenever I saw this title that y'all have assigned to me, I was glad. I'm like, wow. God knows that I need to read that book, and he knows that if I'm not forced to read it, I probably won't read it. So that was a pretty neat thing. But there, he tells a story. I wasn't quite sure about, can we hurt other people? I mean, the long and short of it, we try to help people. How can you hurt somebody by trying to help? So I was, are we going to just hurt him by doing, you know, sharing with others? And Brother Gary tells a story there. Whenever the Panama Canal was built, the Panama Canal, the idea had been discussed for a long time. He said, I think it was centuries. The Panama Canal could reduce 18,000 miles between New York and San Francisco, because all the ship had to go all the way down below South America and come back up to go to San Francisco. And the idea was pretty neat. If we can cut across there in Central America, it's very skinny chunk of land there. If we could cut through there, we could save all this time. In the early 1880s, the French gave it an honest try. They lasted about 10 years. They gave up on building this the canal. And then the U.S. moved in a couple years later, and they picked up the work. It wasn't until 1914 that all 50 miles of the canal would be completed. 50 miles. We don't think that's too much, but if you have to cut several mountains, it was an outrageous endeavor. It was a very, very challenging project. It's estimated that over 27,000 men died in that endeavor. 27,000. Dangerous work conditions, rock avalanche, and rain-induced mudslides made the project extremely dangerous. Hazards. That's getting a little dangerous, too. But two other foes claimed more lives than all the other hazards put together. And there were two things. It was yellow fever and malaria. Over 27,000 men died in this endeavor. Now, there was a group of people, the French actually started. They started a little hospital for people that got sick. And the nurses that worked there, they were called the French Sisters of Charity. And they did their best efforts to take care of these men that were dying. And they wondered what in the world causes this sickness. Some said that probably in the night, the cool air from the jungle is what it gets them sick. So they shut up all the windows and doors and And they tried that. Next day, there were people dead. People were dying. And then somebody thought about this neat idea. They saw ants on the floor. And they said, that's probably, the ants are probably the ones that are getting this man. They're biting the man and they're dying. So they thought, how can we stop the ants? And somebody came up with a neat idea, putting a container full of water underneath each leg of the bed. On the four corners, they would put a little container of water. That way the ants would crawl, get to the water. Well, they can't swim very good, so they just head back. So that's what they did. And they were so pleased with themselves because they finally going to help this man. They're going to stop this disease. They're going to stop the malaria and yellow fever. Well, guess what happened? They were actually hurting them because that was the perfect environment for the mosquitoes to come and lay their eggs in this water. And they were just so close for warm blood to go and eat and snack at any time. And the man kept dying. Can we hurt someone by trying to help? That is the question that we have this morning. I have come to believe that it is possible to hurt. Now, please don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that we don't help anyone anymore. I want that to be clear. I hope that you leave this place not scared of helping people, but with our responsibility of helping people wisely. So I got several points for you this morning. I would like to share with you all that hopefully we can be of help to us as we endeavor to help others without hurting them. Number one, be willing to help. I hope you got that point from this illustration. We don't want to be Mr. Selfish. We want to be Mr. Generous. The Samaritan, do you think he wanted to help? Absolutely, he wanted to help. And on this, I would like to suggest to us that whenever we help somebody, don't do it because you have to. People can tell. People can tell whenever you're trying to help and you, well, the preacher told me that I need to do this for you. So, I got to do this. I hope you enjoy it. Have a good day. People want help willingly. Go with me to Philemon chapter 1. Well, I guess it only has one chapter, doesn't it? Philemon 1:13. Verse 13 and 14. Hope you know what this book is all about. Paul is sending Onesimus, which was a runaway slave, and he's sending him back to Philemon, which was the master. And in verse 13 and 14, whom I would have retained with me, talking about Onesimus, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind or without your permission would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Let me put it on my own words. Onesimus, Paul wanted to keep him because he said, I need Onesimus. He's a very good worker. He can minister to my needs. But I'm not going to retain him because he belongs to you. But he's saying this, maybe Philemon, whenever he gets Onesimus and the letter, I would like to imagine that if Philemon said, you know what? If Paul needs you, go and serve him. Just willingly. But Paul did not want Philemon to feel like he had to help him. He had to give Onesimus to Paul. Not by necessity. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. What do you do when the church-wide aid offering coming next Sunday? Boy, oh boy, they even put some amount how much we need to help. Hello, this is an offering. They should be just willing to accept whatever we want to offer. grudgingly. Yeah, it's not that complicated to do it grudgingly, is it? No, it comes natural. But Paul is saying, don't do it. Be willing to help. James 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, God will provide for you. God bless you. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful for to the body. What doth it profit? What good would it do to send a person in need and say, well, God will provide for you, and you have what it takes to help him, and send him away? Are you willing to help? Job, in chapter 31, he was making an argument. He had helped the poor. We're not going to go there because the time is running away from us this morning. But don't forget, number one is be willing to help. Do it willingly, cheerfully, not grudgingly or by necessity. Number two, help in humility. Help in humility. We already read the verse in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. High-minded simply means be lofty in mind, arrogant, be high-minded, elevated, or lofty. You know what? I already told you. I'd really encourage you to read the book of The Other Side of the Wall. It's a very good book in relation to this topic, or how to help with our hurting people. It's very practical. Brother Gary Miller has been around the world. I mean, he has been to poor countries. He has been all over the place. He has seen help. He has studied into it. What helps, what doesn't help, what is detrimental to people, what is not. And he'll take you to all places. And I got a couple stories to share with you from his book. But this is one of the things he mentions. Us as Americans, now we are, in general, we are the richest people in the world. Among them, okay? We don't live $1 a day. We won't even know how to live like that. But anyway, so often we make that big mistake to think that wealth equals wisdom. We think that we are wealthy just because we're smart. And if these people will be smart enough, they'll be rich too. That's how we think. And that's a big mistake. There's many things that we could learn from the poor people in other countries. And I told you yesterday, I grew up in El Salvador. There was a lot of American missionaries that came down. They visited El Salvador. El Salvador is a fairly poor country. It might be better off than a lot of other countries, but it's still a very poor country. And there was many people that would come, and they acted and they talked like they could change the whole economy overnight. They will say, well, if you would do this, and if you would do that, and if the government would do this, and if you would use your resources, whatever. I'm like, why don't you get out of here? They think they can change things overnight. Now, don't misunderstand me. A lot of poor people, most poor people, do need some teaching. Okay? Most Hispanics, I shouldn't say most of them, but there's a lot of Hispanics that don't know how to save. The virtue of saving money. I don't care if you just save 1 cent a day. If you, 100 days later, you will have a dollar. So they do need teaching, but don't make the assumption just because they're poor is because they're dumb. Some people never had an opportunity. And as Americans, a lot of times, we're talking about going and helping in other countries. I hope we can just kind of get those principles that I'm sharing here and applying wherever you need it. But Gary Miller tells a story in his book about some people that went to Mexico, somewhere in the indigenous people in Mexico. And they found, close to the city, they found a group of believers that were living in just shacks made out of tarps and plastics. And that's what they worshiped. That was their church. They didn't have carpet. They didn't have not even a very good roof over their heads. And this group of American people said, this is awful. These people need something better to worship the Lord. So they bring all their supplies. They bring people from the United States. They're going to build him a church. And they build a church for them. And they even build a house for the pastor. Because after all, a man of God shouldn't live under these conditions. That's what they thought. 1 year later, the church fell apart. Gary Miller is saying, why? Well, first of all, they didn't ask questions on how they wanted to do it. They just did it like they wanted to do it. The group that went down. He said that after a while, the people, they took the church down and they built it on a different place where they wanted it to be built, how they wanted it to be built. And it just fell apart because they thought the pastor was living way above them and that he was getting some help from these Americans. So jealousy and envy started in there, and it destroyed the whole thing. Wow. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Brother Josiah mentioned, we didn't get to choose where we were going to born, where we will be born. We didn't get to choose that. What makes me more special than somebody that is poor? Don't act like you have earned it or deserve it. Don't act that way. Help in humility. Whenever we help, listen, man, I just got blessings from the Lord. This is just overflowing. I want to help you. Go with that attitude. I know there's some things in your life that you can teach me. There's a lot of tricks or habits or work techniques that they're valuable that we can learn from third world countries. Somebody asked me, why have we learned to run a machete around here? You know, those people are specialists at running a machete. They can even cut concrete blocks with a dull machete. Yeah, they just bang, bang, bang. And why can't we go to different places and see what we can learn instead of, we are here, we Americans are here, and we're going to help you all. You see the point? Go with humility. Now, number three, help with wisdom. Now, this is very closely connected to the previous point. Help with wisdom. And I kind of grin whenever I see James chapter 1, verse 5. I don't know if God has a sense of humor or what. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any man. Can you imagine? We all need wisdom. Sometimes we feel like some of us need plenty of wisdom, a lot of wisdom. And God is saying, well, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. As we help other people, ask God for wisdom. Don't be arrogant. Don't be high-minded just because your pocket is full of dollar bills, or $100 bills, for that matter. Don't think that you're the smartest, the sharpest, the brightest crayon in the box. Don't act that way. Have wisdom. You might make mistakes. Actually, you will make mistakes. So ask wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Whenever you're going to try to help people, different situations come and people are requesting help. And they say, can you help me? What should we do? Well, you need to make a wise decision. How am I going to help him? How much should I help him? You need to educate yourself. You're not the smartest, remember. Just because you're rich, that doesn't mean that you are wise. You ask questions. Well, how come you got to this point? I will tell you a story. One time I went to the bank. It's a Friday evening, get my paycheck. I go to the bank, take it to the bank. And I get some cash out to do a little spending money, right? I come out and buy the car. There was a man there. And he said, hey, man, he said, can you help me out? And I go, yeah, what do you need? Well, I need $10. Uh-huh. What for? Well, my car ran out of gas just on that street over there, and it's parked there, and I need to go buy some gas. Well, he didn't have a gas can along, but he needed $10. What will you do? Well, here, man, here's the $10. Good day. Did I help him? I don't know. I said, I tell you what, I said, what are you going to jump in the car here or in the pickup, whatever I had? I said, we'll go and find a car and we'll go from there. Okay, well, yeah, okay, whatever. Uh-huh. So he gets in there and he tells me what street, and we're going down the streets and there's no car in sight. And he said, and I said, well, where is your car? Well, it looks like my brother came and got it. I said, wow, great. Uh-huh, he came and got it. So, okay, well, we stopped at the next street over. I said, well, he asked me, I think he told me to where to stop and he'll get off. He said, man, he said, but I really need the $10. And he came out with a different story. I said, no, I asked you what you needed and you lied to me. So you have a good day. Now you can discuss it with me later if I did the right thing or not. But you get the point. We need to ask questions. We need to ask questions. And boy, this is getting pretty hectic here. I guess you don't have to go home and get lunch ready, right? That's the neat thing about a fellowship meal. You just stay here. We enjoy the sermon, right? And I can tell you a lot of other stories. I will tell you this other story. Because my wife, there's a neighbor lady that has a lot of needs. A lot of needs, let's put it that way. And she asked my wife if she would take her to town. She needed to go, I think she said, to pay some bills. Well, my wife decided she's going to be, you know, helpful. We want to be helpful, right? Kind-hearted. Yeah, sure. I load up the children. We go to town. Here she goes to a loan office to get $300 loan so she could go buy unnecessary items to give away for Christmas or whatever. And the family later, my wife didn't know that. And then we find out later, and the family said, don't take her to town. Well, she was trying to help. What happened? It actually hurt her. She was deeper in debt than she was before. Helping or hurting? Number four, categorize the needs. Well, number three, in the previous point, we learned about wisdom. So now we categorize the need. Gary Miller teaches that material needs can be broken into two different categories. Critical needs and chronic needs. Now, I know whenever we help people, there is not one size that fits all. I hope that that's clear. Every situation has a unique twist. It got a unique personalities. It got all kinds of things. But maybe we can start learning some of these things. Critical needs are basically when there is a disaster and people cannot help themselves. Maybe there be a fire. Your house burnt down and you don't have anything left. What should we do? Well, Brother Henry said that we need to be careful how we help. Let me tell you something. If there's a fire this afternoon in one of your houses, we cancel the service tonight and we're going to go help you. Get what you can. We're going to start cleaning up whatever we got to do. That is critical needs. You help immediately. Don't be hesitant and say, well, what if we hurt him? Don't worry about that. Whenever people cannot help themselves, the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan is a prime example. The man lying out there on the ground, half dead. He cannot do a single thing for himself. The Samaritan didn't start scratching his head. Well, am I going to hurt him? I actually hurt him a little bit, cleaning up his wounds. And we're going to get there shortly. They are easy to identify the root cause of the problem, so help. Now, chronic needs are a lot harder to identify the causes, but these needs are ongoing needs. Ongoing. It seems like every month somebody runs out of money and needs something. How do we, those are the ones that we are kind of in focus here. How do we help them? Take a look at this story. There's 2 4-year-old boys. There's one of them that comes crying inside the house because his arm hurt. His arm, "Mama, my arm hurts." "Well, what happened?" "Well, I was trying to ramp with my bicycle and the ramp just fell apart and I landed on my arm. See, it bruised over here. So what does mama do?" "Sure, honey, here, come over here. Give a wipe his tears and get him on the couch, get him a little drink and takes care of him, right?" Now here comes another 4-year-old boy and says, "Mama, my arm hurts." And he has tears in his eyes too. "Well, what happened?" "Well, I was cleaning up the garden from the weeds that you told me, and the green beans rows are pretty long, and my arm just gets tired from it hurting from running the hoe." What will you do? How will you help him? The first one was easy to identify his need. But the second one? What if mama says, "Sure, honey, come over here. Just sit down over here. Get him a drink. Lay on the couch." Did she help him? No. That boy needs to get back to work. Maybe after a little trip to the woodshed. A quote from Gary Miller's book. I'm going to quote him. "In the North American culture, time is usually deemed more valuable than money." I talk to some of you and you say you're extremely busy. You talk to people in Georgia and our congregation, people are just busy. Somebody told me they were putting over 76 hours per week at work. Not from here. Don't take it personal. If you put in 76 hours per week, I think Brother Stephen, you need to go talk with him. But anyway, consequently, we deem more valuable, that time is usually deemed more valuable than money. Consequently, our first response to a need is most likely with money. We don't have time to ask questions. We don't have time to go see where the car is without gas. So what do? We just give him money. Compounding this is the fact that in most congregations, those who might have extra time are not always good managers. I'm quoting Gary Miller, so don't stone me, okay? And those who have a gift in money management tend to be too busy to teach someone else. As a result, we tend to give money where management and mentoring are the real need. That's where we finally hit the ground this morning. That's whenever we start hurting people by giving them money. I know this is hard for us to process because we just got learned that we need to give. We need to give. But we need to be careful. This takes me to the next point. Number 5 is help with love. I think that's my last point, so y'all cheer up. Romans 12 verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Don't pretend that you care for somebody when you really don't. You see? Love be without dissimulation. Don't feign it. Be sincere. Be real. Do it without partiality. I know it's easy for me to help somebody with a Mercedes Benz is parked out there on the road with a flat tire, and this rich lady is trying to get the spare tire off. Woo, let's help her. Huh? And especially whenever you get done, she offers a $50 bill. And we are humble enough to say, "No, don't worry about it." "No," she said, you take this." "Oh, well, thank you." We feel good about that, right? But what if there's somebody out there that you can tell they're needy, they're poor, wish you help them the same way. That's without partiality. That's love without dissimulation. Here under this point, well, first of all, I'm going to give you four definitions for generosity that I found in a book. Generosity is giving a gift that is cherished by the receiver and the giver. Giving a gift that is cherished by the receiver and the giver. Generosity means giving a gift which requires personal sacrifice, time, mentoring, walk along them, money, whatever the need is. The third one is giving the right amount at the right time. Some people, you might have to just give them $50 this today, maybe $50 next week, instead of giving them $100 today. But the fourth one is what I want to talk about with love. Generosity. This book said like this: generosity is withholding a gift that will hurt the one who receives it. Withholding a gift. And that book, we don't have time to go there, but in Judges, Gideon, after he conquered Amorites? I forget who they were. But he said it was one thing he wanted to request. They were wanting to make him a king. And he said, no, I can't be the king. Lord is going to be the king. And he said, one thing I'm going to ask is all those earrings of gold that you stole from those people, I want them. And he said he made an ephod. And he said that he put it in his city. He gave it to the city out there at the courthouse. And he hung it out there, beautiful thing. And he said that was, in my own words, it was a stumbling block for Israel. They came and saw this beautiful thing. And they said, oh, this is a beautiful thing. We're going to start worshiping it. What if Gideon would have withheld that gift? He gave a gift that was detrimental for the people. That's what we're trying to say. I'm going to continue the quote from Gary Miller. Mentoring is not easy and can be a thankless task. Informing someone that his lifestyle needs to change does not usually endear you to that person. No wonder we don't like to do it. But if we are serious about providing sustainable and beneficial help, we need good mentors who willingly sacrifice time and are backed by the congregation. This is an aspect of love that the people don't want to hear. This is an aspect of love that we practice with the children. And we should practice it more in our congregations. It's the tough aspect of love. Sometimes we just need to punish our children, inflict pain on them. Somebody said, we don't change without pain. Sometimes we can tell people, we can pat them on the back and say, listen, you need to change your lifestyle. Well, I need $50 right now. Well, here you go. Here's your $50. But you need to change. And we keep next month the same thing. What will happen if we start withholding some of these things? You know what Proverbs says? 27 verse 6 of Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes we will have to say no. Proverbs 27, verse 17, same chapter. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, please, don't use these verses. I know we can go out of this place with the wrong concept. That's what I was scared to death about this subject. But listen, these verses doesn't give you a license to use a digging iron to dig a splinter at someone's foot. That doesn't mean that you're going to use a chainsaw to give somebody a haircut or to use a sledgehammer to get somebody's attention. But in love, showing that we care, we sacrifice, you help them and you mentor them and you teach them. Listen, there are some better management skills than what you have. I hate to tell you this, but you are in a mess. What you need is help. Now, under this point of helping with tough love, I would like to suggest a couple little of my opinions. I would say, number one is help on your terms. What do you mean by that? You can run away with some of this stuff very, very far, and I hope you don't do that. But the idea that I have here is that whenever you're going to help somebody, if they really need help, they're going to take the help as you give it. We have a little saying in Spanish, al macho regalado no se le busca lado. That means that the male mule, would you say a mule, if somebody going to give you a mule, you don't going to see which side is going to be the best. You get it? If somebody's giving you something, don't even examine it, what it looks like, or should we take this side or not this side. Take it. Now, we are in the giving right now. And I can tell you stories. If you go, there was a lady in Walmart that spotted a Mennonite lady, and she was visiting the area. She was not from our area. And this lady needed groceries. She said, can you buy me groceries? And a long, sob story. And the lady's kind-hearted. She said, yes, I'm willing to help. I'm here to help. So he lets the lady go and pick up her groceries. Well, she put everything you can imagine. This lady's going to pay my bill. I'm going to get bacon. I'm going to get steaks. I'm going to get whatever I want. And she goes and she didn't know what to do but to pay the bill. $160 worth of groceries. Now, I'll tell you another story. Another brother from our church, same thing happened. He said, I need groceries. Can you buy me some groceries? And the brother said, yes, meet me at the grocery store at 7:30. The brother goes in the grocery store and buys the groceries for them before 7:30. 7:30, he's at the parking lot waiting with the groceries. And he gave those groceries to those people. There was different people. Now, we get the point? If you're going to help somebody, help them on their own terms. In your terms, I'm sorry. The man with the gas, remember? That's what I was going to do. I'm going to help him in my terms. If he wants help, if he really wants help, he's going to take it. He's going to be thankful for it. Anyway. Sometimes you just have to say no to what they want. Because sometimes what they want is something different than what they need. Now, quickly, if you are on the receiving end, what should you do? Be thankful. First of all, be thankful. Some people are going to make mistakes trying to help you. They might give you mentoring whenever you do need money. Accept it and say thank you for your help. Just be humble and be thankful. There is nothing more obnoxious than helping somebody and they don't even thank you. They act like they deserve what you did, and that was not the case. That to me, it gets me a little uneasy, to put it lightly, whenever I help somebody and they don't even thank me. So if you are receiving, be thankful. Don't act like you deserve it. Okay, do you like when you have helped others and they didn't say even thank you? I'm going to just read you a paper here quickly. It's a very neat little paper on helping other people. My point, I don't know, I kind of rambled this morning, but I hope that some of the principles we can apply on helping other people without hurting them. But my point this morning is that we need to help. If you're going to make mistakes, it's fine. But learn from them. Don't repeat those mistakes. I guarantee you my wife is not going to take that neighbor lady again to town to go to some kind of office to pay her bill. She's not going anymore. Okay? Anyway, a man fell into a pit. He needed help and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, well, it's logical that someone would fall down there. A Pharisee came along and said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician came along and calculated how deep the pit was. A news reporter came along and asked for the exclusive story on the pit. An IRS agent came along and asked if the man was paying taxes on the pit. A self-pitying person came along and said, "You haven't seen anything until you have seen my pit." A Christian scientist came along and said, "The pit is just in your mind." A psychologist came along and said, "Your mother and father are to blame for being in the pit." A self-esteem therapist came along and said, "Believe in yourself and you can get out of the pit." An optimist came along and said, "Things could be worse." Well, a pessimist came along and said, "Well, things couldn't be worse." But here comes a spiritual man filled with the grace of God and the Spirit of God. And he comes along and kneels down and take the man by the hand and lifting him out of the pit. May God bless each one as we try to help with our hurting people. God bless you.